And welcome back to the Edge Radio Broadcast. My name is Daniel Lott. On our newsmaker line, we have with us this evening Michael Horn, who is the authorized American representative for the Billy Meyer contacts, which he has researched since 1979. Michael, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you very much, Daniel, for having me on.
All right. Well, appreciate you coming on, and we have some information about you on our website, theedjm.com, and there's, of course, a link to your website, too, as well. You're the official representative. How did you become the official representative for Billy Meyer?
Well, the bottom line answer is I asked, but let me back it up a little bit. What happened, as you mentioned, I have researched the case for about 26 years, a little more at this point, and I had started to do presentations on it some years ago, as far back as 1987, 88. And it was about 4 years ago that when I went over to Switzerland, it'll be 5 years actually in about a week, that I went there to meet Billy for the first time and the people around him, that I started to think about wanting to do this a lot more and with their approval. So basically about a year or so or two later, after I had, you know, gone back and forth a few times, I simply asked them if I could, with their authorization, represent the case in the media under a couple of conditions. Number one, I would represent their information the way they present it. Number two, I would reserve the right to have my own point of view should it not coincide with them. Mm-hmm. And number three, it would be voluntary. I wouldn't, you know, there'd be no money going back and forth between us. So that's kind of how I did it. And by the way, just so you know, the poster you have on your website, the I Want to Believe,
yeah,
that's a Meyer photo.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I love that's one of my favorite ones. Of course, it seems to be a takeoff from the X-Files, too. So.
Well, that's what they use the same thing, too.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, it's a small world, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show tonight. Now, when you say they, are you talking about Billy Meyer's representative, or are you talking directly to him?
How do you mean?
Yeah, when you said you contacted them, who's them?
Well, Billy, and he has a little organization of people. It's a nonprofit group that they work with over there. And so I've, you know, met with everybody involved, and I've, you know, talked to Billy extensively. And then I just spoke to the person that does most of his correspondence for him, and we went back and forth just with an agreement so that we could, you know, know we were all talking about the same thing. And if that was the case, they said, yes, you can do that. And so I've been doing it.
Okay. Well, let's get into the interview, Michael. Now, evidently, he shared a lot of information with you. And, by the way, where does he currently reside at?
Same place. He's lived for some time. He lives in a little town, a little village called Hinterschmidt-Ruti in Switzerland, which is, almost about an hour's drive outside of the Zurich airport.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been there when the aliens have contacted him?
Actually, last year I was there. I didn't see it. This was kind of interesting thing. And just for the sake of keeping this, you know, as credible as possible, let me say the following. There are things in the case that I can prove beyond a reasonable doubt, with certainty. There's other things I can't prove that are speculative. So with that in mind, this is what happened. Last year, I brought over a videotape when I came to visit that was given to me by a fellow named James Gilliland, who's up in, I think it's Oregon State. And he has videotapes with these things flying around mainly at night, and he says that they're extraterrestrial UFOs and that he's in contact with extraterrestrials and blah, blah. And he said, would I be willing to bring this video to Switzerland and show it to Billy and get his opinion? So I said, sure, I would do that. And I brought it there, and about the second day I was there, I gave it to him. I saw him in the kitchen, and I gave it to him. And I figured in a few weeks after I got back, I, you know, might get a message from them as to what they had to say about it. 2 days later, he called me into the office, and he said, would you sit down for a minute? I want to explain what I know about this now. I said, oh, okay. He said, yesterday I had a contact. There's a person who's called Patah, who's kind of a leader of this extraterrestrial human race. And Billy's been meeting with him for about, well, 30 years. So he said, Patah and I watched this video, and here's what Patah said this is about. And he went on to explain that the objects in this video were not extraterrestrial, according to them. They were secret U.S. military fighter craft that had been developed at Area 51. And he explained a few other things about things that were on the tape and why they weren't quite as James thought they were. So this is answering a question. It was on while I was at the center that this contact happened. Most of the time, people don't get to see the ETs. Some of the people do see the ships. There are well, gosh, it's over 120 witnesses right now to the UFOs, and other people, five or six other photographers than Meyer, who photographed them.
Okay, so there are actual photographs taken besides Billy Meyer of these UFOs?
Oh, yeah, there's five or six people. I know one fellow there, a guy named Freddie, who two or three years ago in May, he and about 15, 16 other people that were working in the property were in having a little break in the kitchen, and Billy was sitting with them drinking coffee, and he said, "You should all go outside now because there's some ships here." And so Freddie grabbed his camera, and everybody dashed outside, and they looked up, and above the center were two discs that were kind of moving around in the sky. Not only did all of the people observe it for 30 minutes, but Freddie took a bunch of photographs himself. And he had put them up, I think, on the Swiss site some time ago. To them, the UFO part is kind of old news. It's still, you know, fascinating for us, but they've been, you know, Billy's been in contact with these people, allegedly, for 63 years. So,
now, why have the aliens decided to contact Billy Meyer?
Well, you know, we could say that, we could answer two ways. One answer would be, it looks like they chose the right guy because this, you know, has been a very rough gig. There have been 21 or 22 attempts on Meyer's life since 1964. It's a very, very difficult chore, and apparently this is where we get into the speculative part. According to the information in this case, reincarnation is a fact of life. We may either believe it or not believe it, but we don't know that for sure. We don't yet have conclusive proof one way or the other that that's true. But according to these people, it's a fact of life that they have long since known based on their spiritual development and their technology that enables them to know about that part of the human being that they call the human spirit that incarnates countless millions of times in the course of evolution. Now, Meyer, according to this information, is someone whose spirit has been, well, a player like this in previous times on our world and maybe even other places in contact with these people for a very long, long time, over thousands of years, playing the role, if you will, of a prophet or a seer in different personalities for the purpose of bringing information to our world that would have some importance to us. Now, the thing is that it's a kind of a job that a person literally has to be trained for, even if they've had other experiences in previous lifetimes. We don't remember our previous lifetimes. And so they have to start with him at about 5 years of age, and he always had the opportunity and the option to say no and to back out of it because, as they told him, this is going to be a very, very difficult thing. And they were telling him this as a child. They said, your life will be very hard if you stay with this. You will have enormously fascinating experiences, but you will have a very difficult and unenviable life in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, it looks like that's been true.
Okay, so you say that Billy Meyer is being reincarnated multiple times already?
Yes, not the personality of Billy, but the spirit, yes. As we all have, according to this. In other words, he's not the only one that's been reincarnated, but he's the one that these people and their ancestors have maintained a ongoing contact with for the purpose of trying to help us change some things in our world over time.
Okay, what things do the alien believe that we need to change?
Well, and this part, of course, doesn't take an alien or a Swiss farmer to either say or disagree with, but what they have said is we are on an enormously dangerous collision course with our self-created consequences from our actions collectively as human beings and specifically in many places. We are heading down a track where if we do not course correct very, very soon, there will be enormous and worldwide consequences that could even erupt into a third world war as early as next year. They have specified as far back at least as 1981 and even earlier what this would look like, the countries that would be involved, the fundamentalist religions that would arise. I mean, this stuff goes back actually to the 70s and earlier. But in the 80s and even more recently, they've been addressing a lot of the information specifically to and about the American role in this.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences coming to us from the policies that have been enacted in our name, whether we agree with them or we don't agree with them.
Yeah. Michael, do the aliens differentiate between nations? Do they recognize the United States as the United States?
Absolutely. They differentiate. In other words, they know that while we are all a human population on this planet, that we are in different nation states, etc., that we have different races here. They are very clear about it. They pinpoint and even identify different leaders in different countries and specific events. Their prophetic information has been impeccably accurate, painfully so, for 53 years.
Mm-hmm. Michael, do the aliens have a name? What group are they?
Yes, we have commonly over the past few decades heard this term Pleiadian. That term originated with this case, but they are really not called Pleiadian. They are called Plejaren, P-L-E-J-A-R-E-N, Plejaren people. And they are, if this information is accurate, they are a race of human beings. They look very much like us. It's almost indistinguishable. And their ancestors have been space travelers. This goes back literally millions of years. And they have ancestral connections to us as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, am I going to get this name right? Palladians?
You can call them Pleiadians or Plejaren.
Plejaren, okay.
Yeah, that's Plejaren is what they're actually called.
Plejaren, okay. Do the Plejarians, did they create the Earth?
No. The Earth and everything else in this universe was created and is sustained by what they call the creation. What their cosmology tells us is that we are living in a universe which is itself a consciousness and intelligence of such enormous magnitude, complexity, and scope that we can barely begin to fathom it.
Mm-hmm.
It exceeds the religious definitions that we have in almost any religion for what we would call God or the source or anything. They claim that though they are very far in advance of us, they don't know everything about this universe, the creation, but they do state that we are not living in the original universe from the original Big Bang, but in a universe that is literally one of countless billions, some of them so unfathomably older than the one we live in that we would not even be able to imagine.
Who do the Plejarians say created them?
Well, the creation itself is the source of all life. Very often, what they have said is, when we talk in our terms, people say God, for instance. Now, they differentiate. They say that God always refers to human beings who were here in ancient times and whose deeds and actions were recorded in various holy books, from the Judeo-Christian Bible, the Quran, the ancient Indian texts, and other religions. Whenever there were deities or gods, these were referring to beings that were here representing themselves as what they call the creation. So they were created, as all things in this universe are created, by this force, this intelligent energy, the creation, this universe itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we weave in and out of this conversation, Michael, I suppose some of the things such as what you just said, is that information relayed to you from Billy from the Plejarians, or is that your research in conjunction with the knowledge of communication with him?
Well, that information is in the Plejaren, you know, material that Billy has copied down. He's transcribed from his conversations. I've got on my website, I've got one of their little thing on some introduction to what they call the spiritual teachings, mm-hmm. where they explain a little bit about the human spirit and how it functions. And the case is primarily a spiritual case designed ultimately, if we can survive ourselves here for a while, it's really designed to help us awaken to true spiritual truth and the nature of reality and life in a way that we can progress, and instead of being at each other's mm-hmm. throats because of different belief systems,
yeah.
that we would realize that there is truth and that it is not partisan, it isn't in favor of particular people or race or belief. It simply is true, and where truth exists, then people have the opportunity to get, you know, in touch with it.
Well, Michael, I've talked to a number of contactees and people that have sightings and others who have communicated with aliens, I suppose. But many of them, it seems, or maybe about half, I'd say, not many, but let's go about half of those, say that the alien views is that we are polluting the Earth and that we can't get along and different things. It almost has almost political bent to it. I mean, you could almost categorize what the aliens are for as one political group. Do you see that, or you see them on both sides of the spectrum?
Well, let's put it this way. It's not that they're political. They are, what they're trying to say is, this is the nature of things. You live on a planet, on an organism, which is designed by the intelligence of this universe to sustain a given number of people comfortably with resources that are not infinite but finite. The petroleum in your planet is not meant to be extracted and used as fuel, because you are creating earthquakes, you are creating all sorts of natural disasters for yourself.
So are they suggesting that we go back to the horse and buggy?
Not at all. They're suggesting that if we put our best scientific minds to work and we start to contemplate the way life and nature works, we would look around and we'd say, wait a minute, not that we're talking about solely solar energy, but we would say, just a second here, mm-hmm. The sun is the source of everything on this earth. The way the universe works, there's tremendous energies involved, and you don't require fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. What is going on? Why are we stuck in fossil fuels, polluting ourselves, just giving ourselves tremendous grief here? What will it take for us to become more resourceful and move to something that we ultimately have to move to if we're going to survive?
Would it go without saying that the Plagiarians are against oil drilling in the Northwest?
They are basically against it anywhere because of how it sets up the earthquakes, mm-hmm. the volcanic eruptions, the tidal waves. And they published this, Meyer published this information in 1976. In 1990 or 91, the first scientists started to discover that this was true. When the tsunami and earthquake hit in the, Indian Ocean area, I've connected an article from my website people can read. Scientists now see the connection between the extraction of the petroleum and natural gas and these earthquakes. It's very simple. When you take out this fluid from the plates that buffer the plates of the earth, you set it up for collapse.
Mm-hmm.
It's just physics. It's just geometry. It's geology.
All right. All right, Michael Horn. Well, if the Plagiarians are, in a maternal sense, worried about the way we treat our planet, why don't they just give us the technology to avoid fossil fuels?
Sure. The simple and, to me, compellingly logical answer is every bit of evidence that we have right now for what we do with advanced science is first to use it against ourselves, against our neighbors. We develop it for weapons. And that, painfully, is an unavoidable truth. The types of technologies, first of all, if what they've said is true, we already have a development at the military level of anti-gravity craft, meaning these things that are flying around that are not extraterrestrial, that are terrestrial in origin, they already have some of this type of energetic going on, but it is kept secret. Now, can I prove that? No, I cannot. Is it true? I don't know. So we have to think on it.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to be given things that we are definitely first going to use against ourselves.
So they're waiting for us to evolve to give us the information?
They are waiting for us to evolve to develop and find it ourselves, as well as to then assist us.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that are, if what they're saying is true, put into our world, into our society, on different levels that can and do assist us. But those things that are too easy to use as weaponry, they will not do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Horn, before the contact started with Billy Meyer, who were the aliens talking to?
You mean during this past century or two? Or?
Well, have you researched it enough to know when was the first in ancient history? When was the first contact?
Well, I can get, again, now here's the part where it's speculative, and this will probably, bother some people, but I can give you the names that were associated with Meyer's previous incarnations. Enoch, Jeremiah, Elijah, Isaiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad, and Billy. I think I got them all. Enoch, Jeremiah, Elijah, Isaiah, mm-hmm. Emmanuel, Muhammad, Billy. Yeah, seven altogether that have been involved in this particular mission, this particular lineage of, connection to these people and, for the purpose of bringing prophetic information to us,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
in spiritual teachings. And in each case, these things in prior times were distorted. They were turned into religions. The people involved were manipulated, abused, killed, what have you, because we are, as a species, somewhat resistant to being told things that we don't want to hear, and we're also very resistant to changing our ways.
Okay.
Prophets are basically here to help us make course corrections. They're not here for celebrity.
Well, when you're talking about the aliens, and is aliens a bad word, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of...
What's a nice word?
I don't know. I mean, it is descriptive. You could, you know, the extraterrestrials, the ETs, I guess we could say that.
Occupants of interplanetary craft.
There you go.
Okay. But you believe that there are friends and they're here to help.
I would say the evidence supports that. I can't tell you beyond that. I can't lay claim to knowing that everything is accurate, but I see absolutely no evidence that there's a, you know, malignant or malign purpose behind the contacts. The man himself has been assailed so darn many times, and this has been going on for so long. It would seem to me that there's something quite legitimate here.
Okay. Now, you said that there's been some attempts on his life as a contactee. Why would somebody want to snuff out Billy Meier?
Well, if you get into reading the detailed information, if you read the prophecies, if you get into the information pertaining to the religions and how they were formed and what these people claim is the truth about, you know, God, religion, the universe, and all this, you'll find that there are things in there that could be quite irritating to people who hold very firm beliefs in other directions, or who feel that they have vested interests that are threatened by the information and Meier's contacts.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take, you know, too much to push people over the edge.
Okay. Well, has information been relayed to Billy Meier that would reverse or expose, say, government or religious training or
sure.
Blinding? I mean, what type of information is so dangerous that people would act on that?
Well, let's look at it this way. We spoke about the creation, their term for this universe as being the source of all things, all life, and that this is a consciousness as well as a structure. You know, the universe is a thing, and that in every case they have claimed the gods of all of our religions were not ever this creative force that did create everything, but they were only beings that came from the depths of space, from various places and different times, and even the holy books seem to say those things. When you talk about the Nephilim, or those who came down from above, the sons of heaven, and because religions are based on one's having to believe rather than question and analyze and, you know, probe, belief systems, by their very definition, cannot be true. If they were true, they would no longer be believed. In other words, I don't have to believe in gravity unless I decide I want to fly off the top of a building. You know, I might have to, you know, accept reality. Gravity is a law, and it operates whether you know about it, believe in it, or not, and it's always demonstrable. A baby is subject to gravity, and a feather is subject to gravity, and neither one is particularly aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into religious beliefs where one religion, you know, any religion you go into says, well, this is the truth, and this is the way it is, and this is what God is, well, each of these religions...
I don't believe we've ever interviewed anybody about a three-headed baby. Michael Horn, has Billy Meier ever seen a three-headed baby up on those ships?
Not that I know of.
Let me ask you, you talk about the Pajarians coming back. What makes this... you say that the religions may have their own agenda. Maybe the Pajarians have their own agenda. What makes you so sure theirs isn't any different, only in a different area?
Well, I think that that's where it's up to each person that's interested to read, look at the information, and think it through. The difference is that there's nothing in this case that they tell us you should believe this way. I've read over 3,000 pages of material, and I only saw the two words together, I believe, used once. And that was when one of these ETs said to Meier, regarding a woman, he was trying to remember her name in Austria, and the man said to him, I believe the name of the woman you're thinking of is thus and so. They don't talk about beliefs. They either know something or they don't. If you're going to be a space traveler, goodness gracious, and if it's true that you're going to travel through vast distances at speeds we can't even imagine, even be a time traveler, you can't operate on belief. You either know something or you don't. And they simply state that this is our opportunity now to leave the age of beliefs for the age of knowledge and truth.
Mm-hmm.
If something is true, as that old saying, and it's a probably religious saying, the truth will set you free. If something is true, it will set us free.
Yeah.
If it's simply dwells in the realm of belief, as religions go back, what, 5,000 years or so?
Mm-hmm.
And they have failed to be able to prove their premise. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't value in religion. It doesn't mean that there isn't truth in religion. It doesn't mean that people don't go to religions for good reasons. Some do. Many do.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're saying is this is a time in our evolution where we will begin. We have the opportunity to move into knowledge. We will have to find this knowledge ourselves. We will have to think and struggle with it, not accept their version of it or anybody else's, mm-hmm. but they will give us their version for us to think about.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I can tell you, just listening to this show, I don't know if you see our diversity of guests. We go from the religious to the conspiracy to the unexplained mysteries and such. We believe that there's some truth in all of the reports in that. But what you're just saying described, though, a belief system that the Plagiarians exist themselves. What evidence do we have they exist? Why don't they just land and shake hands?
Well, let's take it. I'll go in reverse here. Why they don't just land. Right now, if these people were to show up in their ships and start descending from the skies, unequivocally being real and existing, a huge portion of the population of our planet would go crazy. It would feel like it had been invaded. Demons, terrible aliens, whatever. No matter what, there would be people that would even kill themselves under that unacceptable reality. This is not something that the majority of people, like you, your listeners, maybe myself, we're not all ready for that yet. So they have to respect that. If they exist, they certainly could prove themselves in 3 minutes' time. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the evidence, you asked? Well, there's two main categories. One is the physical evidence, and that means that Meyer has taken over 1,200 clear daytime photos of up to four of the ships in a photograph in sequence shots, broad daylight. He started photographing back as far as 1964. He was taking photos of eight of the craft at a time in India. Okay, the photos. There's film segments. There's video. There are sound recordings made in front of 15, 16 people. And there were metal alloy samples actually given to him by these people, the extraterrestrials, and turned over to the lead military investigator in the case, brought over to IBM and analyzed by Marcel Vogel, who held 32 patents at IBM. And all of this evidence remains irreproducible. Vogel said he could not duplicate those metal samples with any scientific technology available to him. 5 years ago almost, well, 4 years ago and change, I contacted the top international professional skeptics organization. Their office is in L.A., Center for Inquiry West. They're associated with James Randi, the big debunker. I brought in the photos and films. They told me it was an easily duplicated hoax. I said, fine, duplicate one of his 1,200 photos and one film. They said, sure, we can do it. 4.5 years later, they can't even duplicate one photo. They've gone nuts with this. They have to retract the claim, mm-hmm. their claim that the case was a hoax. The sound recordings, okay. You can download them for free off my website. Guess what? Nobody's been able to duplicate those yet either. So we have this whole body of physical evidence that no other case in the world has. Nobody. Now, if you took all of that and you put it to the side, there's an even more compelling body of proof. And that is the prophetically accurate scientific and world event related information that Meyer has been given over a 53-year period that he started to publish 30 years ago. And he has published advanced specific information on events and scientific discoveries before they occurred, sometimes not only years, but decades before. And this information is in copyrighted published books and in unalterable documents that have been spread around the planet containing the information before it occurred.
Well, Michael Horn, does the Plagiarians know the future?
To some degree. Now, they're not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect beings. These are not beings that know all and see all. They simply have a pretty darn good ability to discern certain things. They only look into certain things to a certain degree, because to know everything is not useful either. We have the ability to change our future. To sometimes it becomes less and less if we make the mistakes we're making now. but they have the ability to see quite a bit.
Okay. When Billy Meyer is talking with the Blajarians, is he able to ask questions submitted to him?
Absolutely. But they, for the most part, have asked that he only ask questions that are his own. And in some cases he said, well, I have these other questions from people that are the same as my own questions. And he has asked them almost anything you can imagine and usually gotten an answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a question. Maybe you've, in your conversations with him, may know. What is the end of space? How far does space go out?
It's funny, Daniel, you asked that, because that was one that bothered me ever since I was about 10 years old. Here's what I can answer about it from the material right now. This universe, this one that we are in, which is not the only existing universe, has outside of it what is called the void, this unknowable, eternal emptiness that I don't even think the Pleiaren can explain. And that's one of the questions I keep wanting. When I go back to Switzerland, I'm going to see if I can get more information. In terms of our universe itself, this universe right now doesn't really have an end because it's still expanding. And the expansion is going to go on for many trillions of years more before it starts to contract. That's what they have said. They have said that there is a parallel universe that developed simultaneously with ours that isn't exactly the same. It's a sister universe. And there is a dimensional doorway to it that they, through technology, were able to create in order to penetrate and enter into this other universe. But as for an actual end of our universe itself, it doesn't exist yet, and the void, the endless nothingness.
So they are not allowed to go into the void.
I don't think so. I don't think anything goes into the void and comes back.
But even the void has to have some sort of end. I mean, it seems
we would think so.
It would seem like we're all like part of the Truman Show, that we would come up against something. But inevitably, there must be something on the other side. Doesn't it sort of burn the brain cells out to imagine what is past that? Either you're going to go around in a circle, or you're going to go somewhere. But if you get there, you're not even there yet.
You just said it. It burns the brain cells out. What Billy said to me, because I was asking him some of these questions, he said, the truth of the matter is that the human mind cannot comprehend this. It is so far beyond our ability now to understand that we couldn't even have it explained to us. And there are things that even the Pleiaren themselves don't have answers to.
Okay, when you're referring to the holy books and referring to the Creator, or as they term the God,
the
or God's creation, are you agreeing that there was some sort of intelligent designer?
Yes, but not as a personality in the way we think of a God. For instance, if you read the Old Testament, where our concept, Judeo-Christian concept of God comes, you have a personality, or maybe a couple, interacting with some of the, you know, relatively primitive people of the time, the Israelites, the Hebrews. He is interacting with them as a person, very much. Even in Ezekiel, not only do we have a wheel within a wheel spinning way in the middle of the air, but Ezekiel describes what he calls the glory of the Lord rose up from the center of the village or the town and went and sat down on the far eastern mountain. Mm-hmm. These were personality beings. Mm-hmm. And in what the Pleiaren have tried to say is the creation has never bestowed a personality form. It's never interacted, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have a chosen people.
Okay, Michael, where would this sort of entity or intelligence or thought, where would it reside in the universe? Outside in the void?
This is the thing. And this is as best I can understand it, and I hope I'm doing justice. It resides, if you want to put it that way, everywhere. We're still thinking that it's like a being that moves to this galaxy or that one. No, this consciousness pervades the entire universe, and it is part of everything in the universe, and everything is within it. The human being has a specific piece of the creation, that is the eternal and immortal, ever-incarnating human spirit.
So you're saying that there is not a location for this creator?
That's right.
You're saying the creation then created itself with its own thought?
Apparently so. But this isn't the first creation. So they're also saying that creations follow a particular pattern of birth and death, sleep and life, and then they give birth to yet another creation.
Well, we have to go back. Who created the created intelligence to begin with?
See, that's the thing that no matter what, we cannot grasp how many of us can say what happened before the beginning, right? When I was doing other things, doing entertainment, I used to have a little piece and it said something like, once upon no time at all, before the beginning, suddenly and without warning, love became itself with a pucker and a pop. I mean, it's kind of like this whole thing of the emergence of existence from non-existence. We cannot comprehend that.
Can the Plagiarians comprehend that? They're obviously more intelligent.
I'm not sure if they can comprehend it either.
Well, you need to relay a question over there to Billy Meyer and ask him that question.
It's, again, going to be one of the things that I talk to him about when I see him, because each time I try to get more of an understanding of those kind of questions. Those are the real questions. If we were, as human beings, if we were struggling with this miracle of life and creation, instead of struggling with trying to dominate each other and own the next thing that comes along at any cost, we would be living in wonder and awe of life and potentially far more peacefully with each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, what introduced the negativity, the infighting, the hate and the wars? What introduced that into this nirvana of creation?
Well, I think in all fairness we can say that creation uses duality, plus and minus, light and dark, positive and negative, as the growth material for itself, for the universe, and certainly for all human life forms to experience and to struggle with and to evolve through learning, through negativity and positivity, with a goal of bringing that into ever greater balance, that we don't have to be in the extremes of such crazy violence and destruction, but that we can, when we go into the negative, when we go into hostility, that we have enough awareness to desire and deliberately correct ourselves and work to bring back into the balance. We are not meant to be solely positive, but we're not meant to be so negative. We are meant to struggle. If you look at that design of the yin-yang symbol, you see the two teardrops constantly, one turning into the other, the light into the dark, into the light, into the dark, each one having an element of the opposite. And they say that there is truth to some of the cosmologies, such as in the Eastern religions, where they understand this cosmic interplay. It's not that there isn't going to be negativity, darkness, violence. It's just that our job through evolution as human beings is to come into more and more peacefulness deliberately through spiritual awareness and you know, observation and contemplation and all this stuff.
Well, we had a lot of good questions come out in the first hour there talking about it. I guess we'll never know who made the creative, intelligent force that rules the universe, but I don't know that I was clear on the fact that how that the negative energies were introduced. You said they always were. I guess people had a choice to operate in those negative energies?
Well, let's put it this way. In the physical world, in the physical universe, the polarities of light and dark, positive and negative, good and bad, whatever, are part of the process, apparently, created by the creation for the purpose of evolution. Now, we can argue with that. We can say, well, how does that work? Does it make sense? It just seems like that is, in terms of this information, we are told that it is not, it's not that there's anything wrong particularly with the challenges of life and negativity even. It's just a matter of degrees and learning how to navigate successfully to be able to, you know, go forward in life and not destroy ourselves by being so totally immersed in negativity.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have a question here for you. Come in on the Fast Blast on the EdgeAM.com website. Michael Horn, do you believe in mysticism?
I don't know what that means, to be honest with you. I'm not sure what the person means. Is there any definition for that?
All right, Mr. Ryder, we'll leave the name unknown there. If you have a clarification of what mysticism is for the...
Yeah, I'd like to know that. I could try and answer it.
Okay, and then there's a secondary question. If we don't know, or they don't know, who created the Creator, then doesn't that make their theory that they have, that the theory of the written account is just as valid?
You mean, does a person trying to say if they don't know about what is the source of the original creation, mm-hmm. are the religions therefore
right.
good
That's,
answers?
Right.
Well, I would say that if you are able to look into and read the material, you're going to find out that they're very specific about who the gods were, what was happening during these times, with histories that go back literally millions of years regarding the human race and its development, even in other systems. So this is what I call the speculative information. We are not in a position right now that we can prove or disprove it. It's just that I give the benefit of the doubt to certain things in the Meyer case because of the impeccable accuracy of information that far exceeds anything.
Now, Michael Horn, I've been to your website, theyfly.com, and I've seen some of the UFO photos, and I got to tell you, and you must know, you must have heard this somewhere before, some of those photos are a tad bit, well, it doesn't, it's not somebody with a something on a string and a pole, is it?
Right, no. As a matter of fact, that's something a lot of people will say when they first see Meyer's photos, because first of all, they're enormously clear, and we figure, well, what is that? That could be a pie plate, or that's got to be a hubcap. So you understand what happened with the investigation. When the investigators went over there, and they saw these photos and everything else, they decided to test and see, first of all, if the photos Meyer had were a hoax. Second of all, they had models built to those specifications, and then wherever they could actually photograph them, some places there was no way to suspend models, which also made Meyer's photos more real, but where they could, they would suspend the models, they would take photos, and then they would compare them in computer analysis. And these were looked at by people from JPL, special effects people, photographic experts, people at Nippon TV who were specialists in analyzing the films of the thing. And in every case, they found out these are real objects. They're up to 21 feet in diameter. They are certain specific distances from the camera. That's why when I challenged the professional skeptics to duplicate them, they couldn't do it. They made little models, but they wouldn't even submit them for the photos for analysis because they knew that they would show up as models. If you look on that page, you'll find there's a shot where Meyer is obviously in a third ship above two UFOs that are above the ground.
All right.
And he has one arm.
All right, everybody, you're listening to Michael Horn. If you have a question for our guest, you can call 1-800-996-9638. If it's busy, go to 317-359-5593. Michael, let me ask you this question. When you're talking about these, you talk about the UFOs that were flying above Billy Meyer, I had a caller or a listener to the show contact me during the week and said they actually been followed by triangular objects from North Carolina to Florida. Do these objects follow Billy Meyer wherever he goes?
Not the way you're describing. What the this may or may not help in the question. The triangular objects we see are U.S. military craft. They are not extraterrestrial craft. The objects that Meyer sees and that the other people see and that they photograph show up at specific times. They don't simply follow him around like puppies in the sky or anything like that.
Mm.
And he
does he ever come to America?
No.
What,
he can't
really.
He can't leave his area any longer, pretty much, because it's too dangerous for him.
Hmm.
He's 68 now. His health hasn't been that great, and there are still people that are not intending him real well, and he has to stay home.
So you go to visit him to get information?
Yeah.
Do you stay in regular contact with emails and that type of thing?
As much as possible. Plus, they will publish their information. If Billy has a contact and there's information that they want to publish, they'll send it out. Most of the time, of course, it's in German, but other times we do get it translated into English, and we're able to, you know, find out what's the latest stuff is, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always plenty of information.
All right. Well, does he have any recent UFO photos?
You know, they stopped photos, and they did that just before, right around 1980, and they said to him, they said there's going to be a development where people will be able to have home computers and techniques to, do effect. We don't need to give you any more photos. You have 1,200 of them, because past this point, people will just accuse you of hoaxing it. Now, on the DVD, I put photos, many that you don't even see on the website. I put a film, the clip that the skeptics thought they could duplicate. It's a broad daylight shot of where the UFO comes in close enough that you can see the flanges and two lights in broad daylight alternate off of the ship. And then we have a video on the DVD where Meyer zooms across a field 300 feet, and there is this broad daylight hovering in front of a tree, a 14 to 16 foot UFO, the most unusual thing you've ever seen. It's right there, and it's just indisputable. So for people that want to see that kind of stuff, we've got plenty of the UFO stuff. He doesn't need any new shots.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this question here. Do you believe, as some believe, that the aliens are merely demons?
No. See, the idea of demons is a human-created concept. This comes from certain religions. Not all religions have demons. Whether I would believe in this religion or that religion, I've never seen a demon. I've seen people that act crazy, but why would we attribute to something that we can actually prove is real and tangible, that has physical evidence, and that has given us tremendous information that we've been able to verify? Why would we think that there was something evil about that? That, to me, is the concoction of the human mind, not of an objective truth.
Michael, it does seem that you've read some holy books. It seems like you've quoted from Old Testament scriptures, and then you mentioned the Book of Enoch. Why doesn't the Quran and those type of books even mention aliens, contactees?
Well, you know, I haven't read the whole Quran, but according to the information in this case, Muhammad was in touch with extraterrestrials. His teachings were badly corrupted by his cousin and the caliphs. They changed things to turn it into a religion and a cult. Apparently, in many ways, he was somebody who was a liberator to the people of his time. He came to change and free people from some of the stuff that now has become Islam itself. Mm-hmm. This is what human beings do with spiritual, you know, teachings and truths too often.
Yeah, well, Michael, you said that that the Plagiarians recognize the sovereignty of different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would assume then that they also recognize the different philosophies and activities of religions.
Yes.
Have they ever spoken to Billy Meyer concerning why the Muslims in particular keep people in the Dark Ages?
Well, what they've said is that the teachings of Muhammad were compromised, you know, not long after his death, and that cults were formed, as we see today. There's numerous Islamic cults, and that these turned into very negative, tremendously negative things. As far back as 1981, they said to him that religious fundamentalism of all sorts was going to be an enormous problem. They specifically said Islamic fundamentalism was going to account for terrible things in the world, that France would ultimately fall from within to Islam, that Italy would have tremendous problems with Islam.
Well, it seems that the Plagiarians might want to start there in rebuilding the planet, since there's so much, so many of the wars are generated from that region of the earth.
Well, it's going to be up to us. We are the people that are either going to start straightening ourselves out, or we won't. And if we don't, we will find ourselves in a third world war, which will have nothing glorious to it. People that may be expecting to be plucked off the earth will find themselves either stuck here with everybody else, or you know, going through the terrors that everybody else.
Hold it! I got that key word there. I picked that up now. When you say plucked up, are you talking about good aliens taking off the good people, or are you talking about the Christian belief in the rapture?
What these people have said is that neither will occur. Neither.
So everyone's going to be here to enjoy the fruits of their labor.
I'm sorry?
So the people will be here to go through the Holocaust or whatever's coming our way.
If we bring that upon ourselves collectively from all the factions that are just aching for a big war here, if we do that, the living will envy the dead. And there will be no... See, we have very funny ideas. For instance, the rapture idea itself, from what I understand, was a concept that was developed during the 19th century by a particular group of Christian believers. It was nothing that was ever even in the New Testament. And as much as the New Testament itself may have been rewritten, redacted, and edited, there's nothing to be found in there about that, from what I understand. So this was a belief that some group decided to promote, and now people are thinking, oh, how wonderful, let's bring on the end of the world so we can be sitting at the right hand of a God.
So there is no escaping, eh?
We create it. We're responsible. This is the lesson. If we take responsibility for our lives and don't try to put it off on saints, gods, saviors, the creation, extraterrestrials, Billy Meyer, Joe Blow, anybody else, then we will live as responsible people and we'll wake up. This is a universe of cause and effect.
Well, we discussed many things in the first hour. Coming into the second hour, we also want to talk about, and I see a list of topics that we are supposed to, we've assigned ourselves, and that is judgment. Who's judgment and who's judging who?
Well, as I understand this information, instead of there being a deity that sits around and kind of plucks this one and puts him in heaven, plucks that one and sticks him down in a hell, that really the human spirit itself learns its lessons and judges itself in its after each lifetime. I cannot tell you with great accuracy more about this because I really don't understand it all that well. It's just that in the course of evolution, from what I understand here, it is a matter of learning. Each lifetime we are learning, we are learning, we are learning, and we become accountable through these countless lifetimes, and there is some process that the human spirit is involved in that is connected to that learning and that judging.
Okay. Well, when you talk about the Plagiarians, we've heard a number of different names of different types of aliens, as you may have heard that one earlier talking about the Zetas. We had a lady talking to the Zetas. Do the Zetas exist, or do they have or do they have conversations with the Plagiarians?
Well, interestingly enough, the information about the Zetas goes back in the Meyer case to about 75, where they told Meyer that there are indeed beings from Zeta Reticulum who had abducted Betty and Barney Hill, I think about 1965 or so. And they said that these beings were not malevolent. They were very scientific in nature, and they were curious, and they did experiments, and basically they would take a few people. They did nothing near what we hear about in terms of abductions, which according to the information in the Meyer case is just at this point pretty much a mass hysteria thing, and also tied into government military secret ops. It's not extraterrestrials, but other experiments that are done by U.S. you know, military and intelligence at some levels.
Yeah.
So the thing is that the Zetas are not, if what we're being told in the Meyer case is true, and I can't prove it one way or the other, but if what they're saying is accurate, the Zetas are not interacting with us. They don't have representatives here, and they're not channeling to people and all this. That most of this is, you know, people's imaginations.
Okay. Well, it looks like we asked for the clarification of what is mysticism. Somebody did write in the answer. They say mysticism is the immediate consciousness of the transcendent or ultimate reality of God. So based on that understanding of mysticism, do you believe in it?
Well, I would say that I would accept that with the idea that I would probably just use the term the creation, so that I'm not using a term that favors a particular religion. I would say this transcendent and you know, contemplation of this magnificent existence and its source. If that's mysticism, I guess I'm a mystic then too.
Okay, well, under that definition, of course.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'd like to thank you for having me on. I think it was a friend in China, a woman who told me about your show and originally put me in touch with you. So her name's Barbara, and I hope she's listening tonight in China.
Sure. I hope you are. Barbara, thank you for sending us the guest information. All right, we have a question for you here coming in on the Fast Blast. It says, this person believes that there is good and evil, and they want to know, have you ever searched your heart in say, a meditative mode or any other way where you just really look at yourself and ask yourself, am I being misled? Do you ever look at your heart? Is your heart telling you this is the truth and you finally have found it where others are still seeking it?
Well, let me answer it like this. The heart can mislead you. We can have feelings that mislead us one way or the other. We can have a positive feeling towards something that's negative or a negative feeling towards something that's positive. So I try to use my intellect, my reasoning, as well as my heart, my intuition. And what I say about the case is this. There are things that I can prove that the case is real, that this man has physical evidence. He's one of 6 photographers and 120 witnesses. These contacts are happening. Is everything true in the case? I can't prove it, because some of this stuff goes back so far that nobody could prove it, and some of it goes far enough into the future that it hasn't happened yet.
Has Billy Meyer ever reported to you where the Plagiarians have intervened in Earth events to alter
certain
the outcome?
Ones. Yes, certain events where in the past scientists were going to test a bomb that was called a chain reaction bomb. We may not have ever even heard of this officially. They said that had that bomb been detonated, within 8 minutes the planet itself would have been incinerated, because it would have ignited the very atmosphere of the planet. This was would have operated on an atomic level, and we would have been all destroyed within 8 minutes. They put an end to that experiment. They have likewise, from what I understand, also interfered with some other weapons tests or things that might have been shot into space. But a lot of it they don't, because we have the free will to do all sorts of stuff to ourselves. If the planet itself was in threat of being destroyed, such as from a chain reaction bomb, then they interfere in as light a touch way as they can to prevent the thing from happening.
Now, we've had a number of guests, Michael, who's reported to us that because you said they cannot reveal themselves because people will commit suicide, and I agree, there would be certainly mass hysteria, but are they preparing us in any way to believe in them, such as through the movies or television or any way?
Well, not, you know, the idea of believing in things is what we're trying to get away from, but your point is well taken. They have been part of, and perhaps other ET races have been part of the idea of seeding into our consciousness via movies and science fiction things and TV and even developments of other sorts, the reality that, number one, we're not alone in the universe, that there is intelligent life out there, and that, number two, eventually we will encounter it. There was going to be a contact with another race and Earth around the year 2000, but that was actually called off because of the trends in the wars that were already here and were coming. These people will not interact with us for about 700 years. Mm-hmm. But there will be, especially if we do survive this coming period of time, we will encounter a visit from another race or two or three when we are more unified as a people on this planet, when we are better able to deal with that, because not only would there be people that would kill themselves, there would be a tremendous military response from certain parties to attack them.
Mm-hmm. Have the U.S. Armed Forces, any armed forces ever shot down a UFO?
It's possible that it has happened.
If we do, would they strike back?
Here's what I think has happened here. I think that some have been shot down and have been allowed to be shot down by certain ET races so that we could have inserted into our world in a far safer way the whole ET idea. For instance, Roswell. From what I understand in the Meyer case, if I recall correctly, those beings that were described as being found with the crashed disc or discs were android beings. They weren't the actual extraterrestrial beings who built those craft. They were an android robotic life form that was piloting these craft, and that it was allowed to be shot down.
Mm-hmm.
And that this has happened perhaps a few times.
Okay.
It would also allow us to develop certain technology that we could be in harmony with, but I can't prove that. I don't know that for sure. I just recall reading it.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have a question here coming in on Fast Blast for you. It says, then, are you saying that we need to have an equal understanding of light and dark, otherwise we'll be in a constant battle until we are in a perfect blend of each other, and then is that when we can make spiritual progress?
Well, you know, just like the other person said, do you ever look to your heart for this or that? We have within us the potential for good and for evil, for light and for dark. Everybody does. There are no true saints. Everybody has this capacity. Our task as human beings is to master it progressively in each lifetime, to bring it mm-hmm. into the balance and have the predominance of the good. But we will still always have the darkness. We need it for our growth, like we need darkness at night to sleep.
Who decided that we needed that darkness?
Apparently, it's part of the creation's creation. For instance, let's look at it this way. If everything was just bliss and easy and we simply existed and we floated around with mm-hmm. a big smile on our face, things might get kind of boring. We may not progress mm-hmm. as much as if we have to struggle with things. Now, just because we use the terms good and evil, light and dark, positive and negative, doesn't mean that all those things are terrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Some hardships in life, while they seem to be pretty rough, they're not fatal. They make us stronger.
Yeah.
They give us more wisdom.
Well, what you just described there is sort of like on the Matrix, where one of the agents was saying that they tried to create the language to create a perfect world, but they lost whole crops of humans, so they had to introduce pain and misery, and then the human experience thrived, and they were able to harvest it. So you're saying that the evil and what we see as evil is a necessary part of our evolutionary process.
Well, it occurs at all levels of life. You know, if you look at the biological life forms, animals, insects, birds, etc., you see in nature tremendous things that we could label as evil, although in nature it isn't evil because it's just part of the instinctive struggle for life and behavior. Human beings have conscience. We have, because we have this positive and negative potential inside of us, we are free to develop and choose.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose the dark over the light or the light over the dark, and
mm-hmm.
it's an ongoing process. It's not just Darth Vader here, you
okay.
know.
All right, we have a question come in on the Fast Blast, and I think this also is in the forum, too, as well. So the writer wants to know, Michael Horn, do you have a soul?
If I'm going to use the info in this case as a reference point because, let's face it, if we talk about souls and spirits, we're still in the realm of belief. They may exist and they may not. But here's what the material in this case says. The soul is a transitory component of the human being that dissolves after each incarnation at death. The spirit is the eternal, immortal part of us that we often call the soul.
Yeah.
So we all have souls. This is part of the solar plexus, is where the soul energy is resides primarily. That's why it's called the solar plexus. And the spirit is said to be centered more in the brain area. Mm-hmm. But we all have this.
Okay.
And it's not a matter of somebody being soulless.
Okay. So you do have a soul, and it will dissolve at your death, and you will be reincarnated with a new soul.
And a new personality. I won't remember.
But the same spirit.
Yes, the same. Well, the
but
same.
But your memory of the previous life will be erased.
It will not be so much that it's erased as it isn't accessible until we're much farther advanced. Now, think about this, Daniel, and the listeners. If it's true that we incarnate many, many, many times, in many lifetimes we've been victim, we've been perpetrator, we've had great loves, we've had close friends as well as enemies, to have to deal with knowing all of that in this lifetime when we've got so much on our plate right now, we would sit around probably paralyzed and helpless to even live a life. So maybe there's a wisdom at play that says, you know what, you don't know that you lived before, it's either a belief for you or it isn't, but maybe farther down the road, when you're more evolved, you'll have access to that when you can handle it.
Well, now, you know, some of our listeners must be thinking that this whole explanation is an elaborate production to replace the idea of the existence of a God. I mean, because it seems like when it comes to the actual evidence, although you say that there is actual evidence that the Pelagarians have come to the Earth and they have talked to Billy Meyer.
There's no doubt. There's no other explanation.
Okay, so...
But in terms of the question, is this something to replace a God? Let's remember something, and I say this to all the people that are religious, and don't be offended, just think about this. The entire premise of your beliefs rests only on the following thing. What's in this book is true because the book says it's true. Now, that's the truth of any religion. It's only there. Somebody can say to me, well, let me tell you, I have a personal experience of this or personal experience of that. That's nice, but that is not proof of anything. And you can't really be sure of what your experience is. So religion is a fairly recent invention. It is not something that is eternal truth necessarily, although all religions have truths in them.
Mm-hmm. So you have no possible inkling, or you haven't even thought about it at all, that perhaps you and Billy Meyer are completely wrong and misled, and that you may wake up in hell and say, whoops.
Well, here's what I did with those thoughts. Because I wasn't raised in a strictly religious household. My father's family escaped the Nazis. My mother was orphaned, escaped the communists and the Nazis. Had pretty brutal experiences. Came here. I was born in America of Jewish parentage. But they didn't send me to religious studies. And at about the age of 10 or 11, I said to my mother, I want to know the truth about Jesus and God, just out of nowhere. And she said, well, you're going to have to go out and find out about that. She said, as far as I'm concerned, God is love, and beyond that, you're going to have to go and do your own exploring.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until about 5 years ago that I actually got into reading the Old Testament, much to my shock and surprise as to what I found in it. I've read parts of the New Testament. I know things about both books that convince me that they are not divine books, that is, they aren't written as a source from the creation, but that they are the tales of different people.
So when you have a very dedicated, zealous Christian who says there's only one way to heaven according to the book they read,
right,
and of course I guess that's the acceptance of Jesus as a Savior, then you're saying they are totally misled.
No, what I say is, I don't subscribe to that. It isn't my belief system, and if a person wants to believe that, they're free to. That's the beauty of, so far, of a country we live in. You can believe it. If you want me to be honest with you, I will say your beliefs rest only on a book, and they cannot be proven. Therefore, that isn't good enough for me. And
what do your beliefs rely on there, Michael?
Well, I'd have to say, what are my beliefs? I like to say that there are things I know and there are things I don't know. Now, there may be things that I believe, but I'll tell you an honest thing. I don't hold my beliefs as being any more important than anybody else's, and I don't hold anybody's beliefs as being particularly important, mine included. Because beliefs change with facts and with knowledge. So I'm sure I've got beliefs. I mean, I have evidence for some of them, like the sun is going to come up tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty safe.
Okay.
But religious beliefs are just too, they're too fragile.
Okay. We have another question here coming on Fast Blast. It says, if these are benign, benevolent creatures, why are they still hiding? Now, I think you sort of answered that in the first hour. You said they can't, we cannot accept the truth. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we really can't. It's, we're just not in a place where we, look, we already, where we are right now in our world, we're very polarized. We have genuine enemies in our world. There's no doubt about it. We've got all sorts of rather difficult things going on. We have cities in which many of us live where people are killing each other doors away from us. Do we really think that we are ready to handle, if these people exist, a race of humans who don't behave that way,
yeah,
who aren't looking...
Well, that you can't... I mean, they're lumping this all into one group. Certainly there's some enlightened people on the planet that have some sort of knowledge. I mean, if you talk about the animals killing each other in
sure,
inner cities, certainly they're not suggesting that the planet is like that.
Right, but you see, if you...
There is always some Neanderthal hanging back.
Yeah, there is. But if they started to favor a group, not, we're not talking about a contact person that's been trained for 63 years and all, but if they started to favor a group, a particular culture, a religion, anything else, it would only further make things worse, because then people would be jealous, envious, angry, fearful, and would perpetuate it. So when we are ready as a world, when we're living together at some future time where we have solved our hatred and our aggression against each other for all these reasons, we will be able to welcome and be welcomed by...
Now, Michael, can I ask you, does that belief there, is, would you say that already coincides with your to your belief system before you ever even met or talked to or heard of Billy Meyer?
You mean that we wouldn't have contact until we're peaceful and all that?
No, yeah. Did you believe this is a planet? We need to quit polluting the planet. We need to...
Oh, I certainly do. I got involved in over 30 years ago with things. I ended up being in the water purification business for 16 years. I wrote stuff, a song about the environment in 1970. I think it's only obvious. We do to our planet what no other species does to its home.
All right. We've got a question in on Fast Blast. People, they want to know. They, from what you said so far, you intentionally or unintentionally, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's unintentionally. It says you have evidently discounted people of faith as somebody perceives it. They perceive it. And so on that basis that they perceive, you've discounted people of faith, which they, their beliefs is based on faith. And then aren't you having some sort of faith in the unknown since you didn't see a UFO either?
I've seen UFOs on two occasions, but you know what? I don't consider that very important. I don't think the UFO part of this is very important at all. It is. Yes, I can understand the fascination and the physical evidence and all, but really it's kind of like Columbus. The three ships came, and that these are the ships these people come in. What's the story? Who are these people? What do they want to tell us? And in terms of discounting people of faith, no. I don't share that mechanism, the faith mechanism, the belief mechanism, and I know some great people that I disagree with, but we can love each other and have our own experience and beliefs or lack of beliefs.
All right. All right, Michael, on a lighter note, I'm going to hit you with what we call the quickening, which is just a series of questions, and just try to answer it in one to three words, if you can.
I'll try.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
On the lighter side here. Do aliens laugh?
Yeah.
Okay. Do the praying mantis type aliens pray?
I don't think they exist.
Okay. Is there any person in the U.S. government that is currently an alien?
You mean doesn't have a green card?
Yeah. All right. Is Satan an alien with an attitude?
No, I think it's a human creation.
Okay. What do aliens do for fun?
I don't know. I think they watch us.
Okay. And final question, Michael, did aliens ever have hair?
Well, it shows you that I'm not one of them, because most of them do.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been asked this serious types of questions?
No.
Welcome to the Edge Radio Broadcast. All right, Michael. Well, you've shared with us this evening that they are here to help and they're waiting for us. You were talking about the reincarnation earlier. I have a question on that. You know, when you have the Hindus who believe they come back as a cow,
never.
That's not true, is it?
No.
How did they get so misled?
Well, again, human beings do funny things with information, and they make up all sorts of stuff. And when you have people that are primitive peoples, as most of the foundational people of all the religions were, where they'd never even seen a bicycle, a flashlight, or a radio, and so they interpret things, and they then institutionalize it, make it teachings, set up churches, cults, synagogues, what gosh knows what, and basically to control people, give them some security in the world, direct them, sometimes for very good purposes,
so,
but they create silly things.
How many times do you believe you've been reincarnated?
I have no idea. I really don't. I don't know.
All righty. Here's a question from the Fast Blast. It's pretty basic. Are you an alien?
No, I'm born here. I was born in Chicago. That's not too far.
How do we know you weren't abducted and the real Michael Horn's up there flying around and you are here as a plant, a spokesperson?
You know
plant?
What? Why'd they leave me down here? I want to be up there with the real Michael Horn.
Uh-huh. Would you prefer, I mean, if you had a chance to get on board and take a ride, would you?
Yeah, I think I would, although I've had questions about that, too, because it's not like you have the experience of flying. It's like you're in a room because the mm-hmm. things have their own gravity. But clearly, to be able to meet with people that can do that and to be taken and shown things in this universe, yeah, I think I would sign up for that.
Michael, has Billy Meyer actually seen the Pelagarians?
Oh, yes, yeah, since he was 5 years old.
All right. Do they abduct him, or they just contact
him? No, it's voluntary. It always has been.
Okay, so they knock on the door. How do they get a hold of him?
Apparently, he was trained from a very early age, and this is quite a story because there was a parish priest involved who had been apparently contacted by these people. Meyer and his father saw a craft in 1942 fly overhead. They didn't know what it was. His father thought it might have been a Hitler weapon, a secret weapon. Within a short period of time, Meyer was outside, went into the forest. There was a clearing there. He saw this elderly man in what looked to be a deep-sea diver suit standing next to a big pear-shaped object. That began his contacts. They were strange for him. They were harmless. He trusted the person, but he was a little troubled that he was having the experiences. He ultimately confided in the parish priest. There's a book. It's only in German right now.
Okay, so as a youngster, was Billy Meyer a Catholic?
I think he may have been a Protestant. I'm not sure what the religion there is.
Okay, because you talk about parishes and priests. So
yes, he was raised religiously. And he, in his lifetime, went and studied virtually every major religion.
Mm-hmm.
Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Judaism, all of them.
You know, from the conversations I had with, or the questions I've received here over the time this broadcast has been on the air, that many would consider that, when you look into many religions, that's mysticism itself.
It may be. They encouraged him. They said to him, you're going to have to know the truth about many things that originated in the past, mm-hmm. and that has to do with the creation of the earth religions. So we encourage you to go and study them all, so you will understand the different teachings and see the differences, mm-hmm. and then we will be teaching you something else.
Right. We have another question come in for you there, Michael Horn. A person says that they know a person who claims to be a this is evidently a different word. Pleiadian?
Pleiadian.
Okay, is that a different type?
Actually the same thing, is referring to the same people.
All right.
The information of the case would be that there are no Pleiadian people here, no Pleiadian.
All right. They claim that they know a person who is a Pleiadian walk-in. What do you know about a walk-in? What is a walk-in?
According to the information, it is a state of mind that is self-created by somebody, and it's a bit of an aberration that this doesn't really exist. I'm not the authority on that. I'm just giving you mm-hmm. the info from the case.
Yeah.
They say a lot of this is just schizophrenia.
Hmm. All right. So you're saying then the insane asylum is filled with people who may think themselves to be aliens.
And a lot of Napoleons and a mm-hmm. bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm. When should we expect that the Pelagarians are going to have a bigger revealing of their presence?
They have officially withdrawn from the planet. Their contacts remain only with Meyer, and they say that in about 700 years, their society will interact with our society, assuming we've made it and developed ourselves.
Okay, so there's no truth to the fact that the alien worlds are dying and they're here to try to create another race?
No, that doesn't seem to... That has nothing to do with this at all. No.
Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of convenient, though, that they won't show up on the nightly news.
Well, I'll tell you something. I have tried. You're one of the people that has been willing to have this case discussed. I have approached virtually every single network and major, radio station and all. Fortunately, there have been a good number of people who are courageous enough to cover the case and let people decide for themselves. But, when you can't get the networks and the daytime shows to seriously consider a case with this much proof and evidence, it's a difficult battle.
Well, so far, I am not putting you into the three-headed baby category.
Good. I have two heads. That's enough.
And the person who said that, they know what I'm talking about. All right, question for you then. They're coming... I tell you what, if we were to go to Billy Meyer and be in his house, would they allow us to talk to him as well, or they say we're not coming in until those people leave?
I'm not sure. Do you mean, do people visit and talk to Billy?
No, I'm saying if the alien, the plagiarians come into Billy Mike.
Oh, I see.
Saying, look, I won't talk to you, but say I want to go over there. Would they allow me to be in the room and say, no, we're not going to talk to you until everybody leaves?
No, they don't allow anybody else in when they're with Billy, and there's certain reasons about it. The logic from the very beginning with them was because Billy had a group of people that started to come to study this and to support him in it, and they said, look, if we allow one person in, we have to allow everybody. If we allow everybody in, the information is going to take 12 different turns in the world, and it will be screwed up again, so there will be only you. We will talk to you, we'll give you the info, and you can tell people.
Have the Plagiarians ever admitted to the fact that maybe back in their past history they had wars with other aliens and they were the surviving race?
Their forefathers were monstrously warlike. If what they're saying is true, their forefathers were gigantic people with high technology who blew up some of their own home worlds in their insane wars, and they went and spread themselves out through space, dominated different planets. It's kind of truly like, a, you know, in a distant galaxy long, long ago, far, far away kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So they say that they've only had peace in their worlds for about 50,000 years, it's a long time, and that they finally came to settle themselves down. This is what human beings go through. It's just that we are apparently pretty far down the road to destroying ourselves, and that's what does concern them.
Have they ever revealed whether or not there are other Earth-type planets with human beings on it?
They know of over 8 million other human races in the universe. They and their forefathers have interacted with over 8 million, many of whom were space-traveling races.
So do the Plagiarian believe in the Big Bang Theory?
It seems like that does coincide with truth according to them. What they say is that right before the universe, the creation, comes into existence, it is all energy is compressed into a particle smaller than a flea. It suddenly expands in all directions at many, many, many times the speed of light. And they have all the, this is the other thing, they have all this mathematics and science and stuff in here. And I have a physicist whose mind was blown by what Meyer published that was so far ahead of him, he didn't know what to do.
Well, 100 years ago, they didn't believe in the Big Bang Theory. Isn't it interesting that the Plagiarians believe the current science of the Earth?
Well, the Plagiarians have whole other things that don't accord with our scientific facts or beliefs. They state that the Earth came into existence in its earliest form, was forming 626 billion years ago, not just 4 billion. They say the universe itself is over 47 trillion years old, and they explain that the reason we think it's far younger is because our telescopes and all can only see to certain degrees, and what we can only see is the matter that is still existing. Much has already passed back into energy.
Have they ever, has Billy Meyer ever addressed the question as whether or not Atlantis really existed?
It did, according to them, and they not only did they address that question, they explained who the people were, the rulers of it. There was a man named Atlant, after whom the land was named. His wife was named something like Caratide, and they existed for a number of thousand years. So they were originally extraterrestrial humans. There was another civilization that developed called Lemuria or Mu. There was a war between those two that was actually fomented by another race that was a troublemaker race of humans, and Atlantis annihilated the continent of Mu, which used to exist where the Gobi Desert is, and there were scientists from Lemuria or Mu that destroyed Atlantis by mounting a propulsion system on a chunk of asteroid and bringing it down over the continent of Atlantis. Now, this was told to Meyer, I think, back either in the 50s or 70s, and since that time, satellite photographs have revealed huge craters in the area where Atlantis used to be, that showed that something indeed did come down in a number of places, and they explained it very convincingly.
Here's a question coming in for the Fast Blast. This is about Billy Myers. So you are convinced he doesn't suffer from an overactive imagination?
Hardly. We have 120-plus witnesses, including a retired U.N. diplomat, six other photographers, 1,200 photos. How do you imagine those?
All right.
Eight films. You know, it goes on and on.
All right. Now, you mentioned earlier, you're talking about the Christian Bible, when you said it mentions the early gods. One of the scriptures that's frequently mentioned on this broadcast has to do with the sons of God coming down, the daughters of men, and creating hybrids. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah. If we accept what's told to us in the case, we had distant forefathers who, going back even 22 to 28 million years ago, who came here from the Sirian star system. Many other gods interacted over time with either the distant descendants of extraterrestrials, with the newly existing Earth people here. So indeed, there were these sons of heaven interacting with the primitive Earth humans. It's a phenomenal story, and apparently it's quite accurate.
Hmm. So there is some truth in the Bible after all.
Well, there is. And the thing is that there's truth in all the holy books. There is truth. The problem is...
Except for the one that says that if you kill somebody, you get 72 virgins. That's, we
well,
can't
that actually
that,
isn't
we?
Even in the Quran. That's a corruption from some cult of Islam. None of the things that... Look, the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, and I'm speaking to you as someone of Jewish descent, he commanded the death of 10 million people, mainly non-combatants, to be slain without mercy so that my forefathers could have the land of Israel.
Okay, I've heard explained this way, that if you are a potter... and you create a vase, and somebody comes along and breaks it, that is a crime. But if you're the author and creator of that vase, and you decide to destroy it, that's no crime whatsoever. So if the creator decides to create life and to take it, he is neither a murderer nor a madman.
Well, we don't see what we see is that life doesn't operate that way. If we have only one group that's a quote-unquote chosen people, or if we only have somebody else that's a solitary prophet of a God, if we have someone else that's an only begotten son, if we have all these things...
What if this creator created a race of beings to exist side by side with people, say those who had souls and those who didn't know if they had souls, like some of our previous guests? How would you know? Wouldn't that make sense that the people he destroyed maybe were the soulless individuals?
Well, it doesn't to me, but I understand that it may make sense if people's belief systems are along those lines. And this is why here's something
that seems to be no. That's more. It seems to me that's a very plausible explanation.
Well, only if you have an anthropomorphic God that seems to think that the little life forms that are developing on this piece of cosmic lint in a universe that's so vast we can't even imagine it are so important that he's got to play this game with us. It's like when people quote the story of Isaac and Abraham and they say, God was testing Abraham's heart. My answer is, oh yeah? Well, why was he abusing the child and the person of Isaac?
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, we may have to leave it there. In the final minute we have on the broadcast, anything you'd like to say to the audience?
Yes. I want to say you are a great interviewer. You keep it going incredibly. Your listeners ask great questions. I mean, no offense to anybody. I just tell you what I know, what I've learned here. There is information. If you check the links in my site, it will take you to some original documents also discovered by Meyer that appear to be the original writings of the New Testament. That'll give people something to worry about here. And I just want to thank you enormously for your generosity.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on the broadcast, Michael.
My pleasure, sir.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com.